All right, we're ready to go. Everything's okay in the booth? Okie dokie. Yes, talent is ready out here. So, put it in the books. 139, episode 139er. Ready to take off. From Captain Podtastic Airfield. All right, let's do this thing. Three S's, Jim. Star. Smile. Strong. Here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. A new episode is posted for your scrolling and your downloading and your clicking and your swiping, whatever it is you do to find us on a regular basis. We are here. For your listening pleasure, at your leisure, which is the great lure of the podcast. No schedules to adhere to whenever you want to listen. If you are a regular listener to the podcast, thank you so much for your loyalty. And don't forget the landing page at WGNplus.com. You go to the entertainment section. There's a prompt for that. You'll see Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and you will find all previous 138 podcast episodes right there for your binging pleasure, which must mean this is episode 139. And it is indeed. Well, I have to say, if you are a regular listener, I always encourage you to try to stay current and listen on a weekly basis as the podcasts are offered. They are certainly designed and can be listened to in bunches. But to create that kind of regular dialogue that we would have on a radio station on a daily or a weekly basis, hopefully you do try to listen every week sometime. As I said, I think there's 168 hours in a week. I think you could find 1 hour for this, right? 168? That's if you had $168 in your hand, right? $168 bills. And someone asked you, can I borrow one? Or can I have one? Not even borrow. Can I have one? And you're sitting there with a stack of $168 bills. You see? And wouldn't you just give a dollar away? Sure, I got 168 of these. Here's one. That's the situation here. 168 hours in a week. I'm asking for one of those. Give me one of your hours, won't you please? Like one of those commercials for the abandoned pets. Oh my gosh, do they tug at your heartstrings, huh? Especially here in the wintertime in Chicago. You're kind of hibernating, and then they show these poor animals that are outside or they've been abused, and they have those literally puppy dog faces. Oh, well, you can't see me, but I can use the power of my voice to say, out of the 168 hours that you have in a week, can't you just give me one? And listen to my podcast? Thank you. And if you do, you'll get this adorable blanket. Anyway, thank you for tuning in. So as I said, if you are a regular listener, I mentioned that it's my birthday at the beginning of the month here in January. And so sure enough, just had a birthday on January 8th, and I had a very nice birthday. And I have to say, I was, not only did my wife make it a very enjoyable birthday and my family, But I have to really say, the extended family that I have been able to create or attract or accumulate, whatever you want to say, whether it's you know, through Facebook or through my work on the podcast or through my earlier work on the radio, which I still do, whatever the case may be, however people have found me, I have to say that I was overwhelmed at the reaction and the outpouring of just really nice, kind wishes and kind thoughts that people passed along on my Facebook page. I had more than 300 people wish me a happy birthday. And that was just a really unexpected but very nice nice thing to happen. And so it's very it's much appreciated. If you were one of those who did send me a birthday wish on Facebook, thank you so much. And if you didn't, why, where the hell were you at? But no, I was shocked. You know, I wasn't expecting anything. I didn't even say anything. I know that on Facebook your name pops up to your friends and it says it's this person's birthday, but you know, it still takes a little effort for someone to, in their busy day, to, you know, click on there and just say happy birthday. And so it was very nice. And I heard, as I said, from not only some longtime friends and family, but a great majority from people that I've befriended on Facebook, and many, I would assume, who have discovered me and befriended me on Facebook because of my radio related or maybe acting related work. I don't know, and I have to say, some people I recognize their names. I haven't met even a lot of these people, but they do send me occasional messages that they've listened to the podcast, listened to the radio show or something like that. And so it is an interesting little virtual world that we've created here. And even though, as I said, many of the people of the 300 that that sent me birthday wishes, I just knew them by name and by picture. I've never spoken to them or physically met them, but their names certainly do pop up quite a bit on my Facebook page to make comments or other things like that, or just hit a like on something that I may have posted. And so, wow, you know, 300 people, you know, many of whom I do not know personally, still took the time out to wish me a happy birthday. So thank you if you were one of those people. It really added to the day. And it's surprising. You know, I sit here a lot of times and complain about what technology does and the impersonal aspect of it. And but as I've always said, I am not anti-technology. And every so often, some of the positives of technology do sneak up on me and remind me that it's not all insidious. It's not all damaging. And those birthday wishes really were very nice. On my Facebook page, I did make a post, which got, I made a few posts that also just got a lot of likes, which surprised me. I always like to dig out some old photos, especially from my childhood. On my birthday, what I usually do, and I've talked about this before, but I still think it's worth mentioning in case you've never heard it. And if you have, it really can't hurt. But on my birthday, I've always had a strange relationship with my birthday because it's so close to Christmas, and I have talked about that quite a bit. A lot of times when I was a little kid, I got the combination Christmas birthday present, which I always felt was a little much of a cheat. If my birthday was in July, I would have got a separate present. And if I do get a combination present, then it should be twice as big, right? But I've always felt that that birthdays really, and I've said this before, belong to your parents. We grow into our birthdays, and it becomes a special day that people create for us, which is nice. But really, I think that birthdays are for your parents. It was a major decision for them to have a child, and that day they remember every minute of that day when we were born. We don't remember any of it. We were bystanders. We were there, but we weren't really there, right? But my gosh, if you talk to your parents about the day you were born, they will remember the whole story. From the water breaking, from the contraction, until the slap on the butt. And they will remember much more, obviously, throughout your lifetime. But that day was a huge day in their lives. It becomes a huge day for us, individually, our birthday. But that birthday really, I think, belongs to the parent. And my parents passed away. My father passed away 12 years ago. My mom passed away 13 years ago, going on 13 and 14 now this year. My dad is 13 and my mom is 12, so it'll be 14 and 13 this year. But I go to my parents' crypt, or in a mausoleum, once a month. And I talked about giving me 1 hour a week. It's been, you know, that long, and I do go. Thankfully, the cemetery is not far from my home. And in my travels throughout the month, I always feel that I owe them certainly at least one day a month, even if it's for 5 minutes, to just pay tribute and always remember them. And so I do try to go every month. And sometimes it's in conjunction with a holiday or a special event, their birthday or anniversary or something like that. Or sometimes there's nothing that happens in that month, but I still drive by there and spend a few minutes just to pay my respects. And on my birthday especially, I always make a point to go to visit their crypt. Because as I said, I think it's as much your birthday is as much a day to celebrate your parents as it is to celebrate yourself. And in our narcissistic world these days, we celebrate ourselves enough. And so I think that it's important to remember whether your parents are alive or if they've passed away, that the birthday really is their day. Think about the major decision and the major excitement that day held and holds for them. And sometimes we look a little inward and we forget to look outward. And so I've always, if I do celebrate my birthday, I always celebrate it in part with my parents. And I hope that when they were alive, I made them feel that was worth celebrating them as well as me. But I certainly do it now. And you say, well, what did you do for your birthday, Jim? Did you go out to dinner? Did you do that? I went to the cemetery and visited many of my passed away families, members. Both my parents and all my grandparents have all passed away. I only met one of my grandparents, my maternal grandmother, and I only knew her for about 4 years. She passed away when I was about four. I have some memories of her, which I'm grateful for. But my father's parents passed away before I was born, and my mother's father passed away about 10 years before I was born. So I did not know any of them. But I still felt on this birthday that I should go around the horn. So what did you do on your birthday? I was basically spent 2 or 3 hours driving and visiting cemeteries. And no, that was not depressing one bit. As I said, some of these people I did not know, but I still felt that it was, without them, I would not be here. Without my parents, certainly, and without my grandparents, I would not be here, right? And so I thought that on my birthday, I owed them a bit of thanks and to pay them respects. It's not all about us on our birthday. At least that's the way I look at it. But on my so one of the things that I and as I was visiting my parents' graves, it dawned on me that, you know, we talk about our birthday and but really our birthday is an anniversary, right? It's the anniversary of our birth. We don't look at it that way. We don't call it our anniversary. We call it our birthday, but it really is the anniversary of our birth. And it dawned on me that not only was it the anniversary of our birth, but it was the anniversary of the first day that we met our parents, right? It's the first day that our parents met us. Yes, we were in the womb for 9 months or so, but finally we came out. And that your birthday, yes, it's your birthday, but if you start to break it down into real terms, it was the first day that you and your parents met. And so I thought that was kind of a cool way to look at it. It's the anniversary of our first meeting between mom and dad and child, rather than a birthday. Once again, and I think that way it makes it more familial, and it makes it more about your parents as well, because it's your birthday, once again, very inward about ourselves. But if you say that this is the day that my mom, my dad, and I first met, it makes it a little bigger, expands it into a family. And I was an only child, so it was the three of us. And so I posted that kind of perspective on there, and I had a picture I think the picture that I posted was the first day that I came home from the hospital with my mom and dad and me, and it's a great picture. And so I posted that with this little phrase that today was the anniversary. Instead of saying my birthday, I didn't mention the word birthday at all. I just said today is the anniversary of the first day that my mom, my dad, and I met. and I said, I miss them dearly, and I miss us. And by that, I meant I miss them individually. I miss them as a couple, and I miss the three of us together as well. And so, yes, I miss them, and I miss us, because there is no more us either. Physically here, the three of us. So, and I was surprised. That got a lot of likes, you know, almost 150, 200 likes. So people must have reacted to that. And I'm glad they did. And they said some nice things about my parents, just looking at the pictures and stuff. And so that was nice. And then I found this great picture. I don't know what birthday it was of me. I had to be maybe 6 or 7, maybe 8 years old. And at a birthday party, a family birthday party of mine, blowing out the candles. And so it's great. I'm blowing out the candles. My mom is right behind me, and my family members are all smiling. And it's a really cool picture. Black and white, of course. Taken way back when, probably with a Polaroid camera. Remember those? But it's a really cool picture, and I posted that up there, and I said, I think that most of the wish that I had on that day most likely came true. I don't know what it was, but I've been lucky that a lot of my wishes have come true, and so I'm sure, I don't know at that time if I ever, what I wished for, but I bet you it's certainly when I look back at my life, a lot of my wishes have come true, so I'm just taking a little creative license with that. And that picture got, and that little statement there got some nice reaction too. So that was very cool. Once again, to get that kind of feedback, I just kind of throw those things up on the on my Facebook page. I'm not really expecting anybody to even, I don't even know if anybody reads it or not. And then I'm always very shocked when I see so many people react. So between the unsolicited birthday messages that people sent me, over 300, which was great, and then people reacting to this picture of my parents or the picture of me blowing the candles out, it was pretty cool. And another one thing that I posted, Yeah, I was busy. I just didn't go to the cemetery. I thought it would be cool. I am kind of fortunate, I guess. I don't know if that's the word, but... you know, we always wonder who's born on our birthday. You know, what celebrities are born on our birthdays. And I've got a pretty interesting group of people. As a young kid, I was informed from a young age, probably when I was in, you know, second or third grade, I remember a girl telling me, because, you know, my birthday is January 8th, and they said, hey, you know, your birthday is the same birthday as Elvis Presley. Wow. Obviously not the same year. But I was like, wow, that's cool. And as time has gone on, and now especially with the internet, all you have to do is just say, you know, what celebrities are born on whatever date you are. But, you know, in the newspaper, in some of these celebrity columns and then these horoscope columns, they will always mention one or two celebrities that share your birthday, if today is your birthday type of thing. And so as the years went on, I started to look at that every day, or every at least once a year, right? And now as time has gone on, obviously more people have been born since, you know, 20, 30, or 40 years ago when I first started to take a look at this. But some pretty interesting, noteworthy people sharing a birthday. The cool thing was, when I went to grammar school, my same year, there was a guy, and we shared the same birthday exactly. Same day and year, obviously. We were in the same grade. January 8th. And so it was pretty cool. We would, this guy's nickname was PJ. And so I always had a little kinship with PJ because we shared the same exact day. I don't know who was born first time-wise, but yeah, that was kind of neat to have somebody in your grade with the same birthday, and obviously the same exact day. But yeah, I really went on the internet and sort of scoured. There are some names that always have popped up, but then there were some new names that I never was aware of. I may have been aware of and just forgotten. And so I went online and I looked at this list and I posted for some of the pictures. And amongst the famous pictures, of course, as a joke, I threw my face in there and said, here's some noteworthy people that were born on January 8th. And I threw there's Elvis. And another one was David Bowie. So I always shared a birthday with David Bowie and Elvis Presley. So that's pretty cool, since I love rock music so much. And then I put my face in there and some of the other ones. And so a lot of people responded to that. But I didn't put all the pictures of these people. But I do have the list. So I had I went through it again just to see how deep it went of not just immediately recognizable names, but some other names that I certainly was aware of. Unfortunately, when you go online now, and you say the word celebrity has been diluted, folks. Wow, has it been diluted? I said, you know, in the search engine, I said celebrity birthdays on January 8th. And there was a huge amount of Instagram celebrities. Okay. No, sorry. Those don't count. You have to have done something more than take a picture and post it. You have to have achieved something. I know we hand out the term celebrity very lightly these days, but I don't. And I don't consider myself a celebrity at all either, just so you know. I mean, that was part of the joke of me putting my picture amongst all those other people. But, so Elvis Presley, that's pretty major. That's pretty cool. In fact, I remember one time I was at Graceland, Elvis's home, and I was in line. And there was, you know, you're surrounded by different degrees of fans. You know, when you go there, some are casual fans, some are diehard fans, some of them are scary fans, you name it. And we're waiting in line, you know, to get into I think we were in line to see the grave. And I hear this young woman in front of me, and she was such a big fan. Her name was Michelle. I heard her talking to the person in front of her because they were all swapping Elvis stories. And I'm a fan of Elvis, like anybody who loves rock and roll. You're a fan of Elvis. I'm not a huge fan in terms of knowing every, you know, nook and cranny of his career like I would, say, Bruce Springsteen or Elton John. But I certainly, you know, how do you not love Elvis, right? He started it all. And so I hear, but this one woman was a big fan, and she was younger than me, but she was talking to somebody in front of me, and she said that her name is Michelle, but her friends call her Michelvis, which I thought was pretty cool. Michelvis. Hey, how can I laugh? My nickname is Elton Jim, right? So I can't laugh at Michelvis. I have to acknowledge that that's pretty a cool name. If I'm gonna run around with the Elton Jim nickname, I have to acknowledge Michelvis, right? But Michelvis was talking, and so in the middle, I said, "Oh yeah, well I've got the same birthday as Elvis," and oh my gosh. Michelvis turns around, and the other guy she was talking to, they looked at me like I was the golden child. And, of course, they knew the date, as I expect that they would. And she just said, "You were born on January 8th? And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Obviously not the same year, but, oh, my God." I mean, it was as if we had, you know, like me and Elvis had some kind of, you know, spiritual kinship in their minds, but she knew the date exactly, and they looked at me like, "Wow, I wish I was you." I will always remember Michelvis, though. Love that name. So Elvis Presley, born on January 8th. David Bowie, big fan of David Bowie, not a huge fan once again, but certainly had many of his albums, saw him in concert a couple of times. Once again, if you like rock and roll, how you're not a David Bowie fan? So those are two major people right off the bat. Then over the last several years, I discovered this one. It's not just the rock and roll world that January 8th becomes prominent. Famous physicist Stephen Hawking, born on January 8th. How about that? That's pretty good company. That's not a bad, right there. I could stop right there and just say Elvis, Bowie, and Stephen Hawking. And someone's got to go, "Wow, nice." But let me continue. How about Robbie Krieger, guitarist for The Doors? Not bad. The Doors, not bad. Now, some of these, here's one that is making a lot of news right now. At one time, it may have been a wow, a gee whiz. Now it might be a ooh. R. Kelly, who is in the news lately for the allegations of his sexual adventures. Possibly with underage women. But there was a time when R. Kelly was, you know, looked at as a major idol in music, certainly. Now, these allegations have been following him for the last 10 years or so. I'm not sure. I know that there was this Lifetime documentary that, you know, featured some women telling their stories. And obviously now we're in a completely different atmosphere with the Me Too and everything. So now suddenly the stories and the stories of women who have made allegations against certain people now are being taken much more seriously than they were just 2 or 3 years ago. So these allegations against R. Kelly have been around for a while, but now we are in a different age, in a different era, and now they are being taken much seriously. So notorious or not, R. Kelly and I share a birthday. Now, here's a name from the past. I put this picture up. Someone put on my Facebook page, "Wow, Jim, you're really testing the memories of some people." But if you know me at all, you know that I love entertainment. I consider myself a pop culture junkie, and it's not just of the day. My pop culture knowledge and appreciation goes way back. Decades, long before I was born, especially into the comedy world. I love the Marx Brothers, and I love older music and older and Jackie Gleason. I mean, you know, these reruns and, you know, as I said, the Marx Brothers date back to the 20s or 30s. So, I mean, I try to span the gamut here. But there was a comedian who was very popular in the 50s and 60s named Soupy Sales. And he was kind of goofy. But he was the precursor to Pee Wee Herman. You know, the Pee Wee Herman, Pee Wee's Playhouse? That show, which was very popular, obviously, in the 90s, was based upon Soupy Sales' children's show. And he had many of the same, and many of the things that that Pee Wee did were certainly influenced by Soupy Sales. So me and Soupy, and Soupy was a member of the Friars Club, and so was I. So we were brothers. We were Friar brothers. And once again, Soupy has passed away. Now here's one that I did not know at all until just scouring through the internet. Another interesting figure, certainly controversial. The leader, Kim Jong-un of South Korea, or I'm sorry, of North Korea. Wow. I did not know that. So me and Kim Jong-un, if I see him, and if he can understand the English language, I've got an icebreaker with a Kim Jong-un. I don't know if I want it, but I can put that one in my back pocket. If I'm ever out and about and a Kim Jong-un is, you know, at a restaurant or, you know, at a bus stop, can't say he's shopping at Sears because there's no shopping at Sears anymore. But yeah, but if I bump into a Kim Jong-un, first thing I say, I have an immediate in. Un. Elton Jim. We share the same birthday. January 8th. So that's interesting. I did not know. Kim Jong-un and an Elton Jim share the same birthday along with Soupy Sales, R. Kelly, Stephen Hawking, David Bowie, Elvis Presley. Now, here's another name from the past. If you're a pop culture television fan, Larry Storch. You may remember the show F Troop. Larry Storch. He was also on a lot of shows in the 60s and 70s, on variety shows. I remember he was on an episode of All in the Family. He was on several episodes of the show Car 54. I'm sure he was on Love Boat. Everybody was on Love Boat in the 70s. But, yeah, so I guess, you know, B actor. But I think he's still around. I think he's in his 90s. Larry Storch. Welcome to the January 8th day. As I said, Robbie Krieger of The Doors. Very cool. In fact, I believe he wrote Light My Fire. He was the one who brought that song to the group. Shirley Bassey, a very famous singer from the 50s and 60s, Shirley Bassey. Jenny Lewis, more recent. She's a kind of a hipster, folky rock star. I love her voice. Jenny Lewis, we share a birthday. The actor Jose Ferrer. I remember Jose Ferrer. He's a great actor. If you've ever seen the film The Caine Mutiny with Humphrey Bogart, Jose Ferrer plays the defense attorney for Van Johnson. Who are you, Van Johnson? Jose Ferrer, whose son was, or I think it was his son. Was it his son or was it his uncle? But the Ferrer family was an acting family, and people, if you ever watched Twin Peaks, Miguel Ferrer was related to Jose Ferrer. I'm not sure if it was his son or his nephew, but Miguel Ferrer, who played Albert on Twin Peaks, who just recently passed away, was related to Jose Ferrer. And there was also an English actor named Ron Moody. And he was in a lot of films in the 60s and 70s. If you ever watch an episode of Fawlty Towers, if you know the great show Fawlty Towers with with John Cleese, Ron Moody is in an episode where Basil believes that there is a inspector coming to the hotel in disguise, who is doing a report on the hotel. And he goes out of his way to make sure that this guy's got everything he wants and that, you know, this, his service is top notch. And it turns out that this guy is not the inspector. And he actually, of course, abuses the real inspector while he's fawning over this other guy who's just a regular guest. And that regular guest was Ron Moody. And he's been in a lot of other movies, too. You look him up, too. And then I found somebody who's born on exactly my birthday, year and date. And I am a fan of his, and I never knew that he was born on my birthday and exactly on my day, same day and year. There's a Canadian singer-songwriter named Ron Sexsmith. Ron Sexsmith, yes, S-E-X-S-M-I-T-H, Ron Sexsmith. He's not very well known. If you like Elvis Costello music, he's clearly influenced by Elvis Costello. Just a really good songwriter, some great melody, some great lyrics. If you don't know his music, look it up on Google, Ron Sexsmith. So that's pretty cool. I never knew that one either. But I have many of his CDs over the years and never knew that we shared a birthday. So that's not a bad list. Elvis Presley, David Bowie, Stephen Hawking, R. Kelly, Soupy Sales, Kim Jong-un. Larry Storch, Shirley Bassey, Robbie Krieger, Jenny Lewis, Jose Ferrer, Ron Moody, and Ron Sexsmith, and a few other people whose names I do recognize, but I don't know if they would be that recognizable to the general public. So that was pretty cool when I went a little deeper. And today, as I said, with the internet, it's really easy to do that if you want to. So yeah, I used to joke and say that when, you know, when Elvis was alive, he was always saying how cool it was to share a birthday with me. Hey, prove he didn't. Prove he didn't. That's all I can say. Same thing with David Bowie. Prove he didn't say that. You can't ask him. You'll never know. You got to take my word for it. I remember David saying, oh, yes, I've enjoyed sharing a birthday with Jim. Well, thank you, David. And of course, Elvis, flip it, man. Just flip it. It was cool having a birthday with Jim. I don't know if that sounds like Elvis or not, but, you know, once again, you cannot prove that they didn't say that. And I have to say that my birthday, I was talking of over the last couple of podcasts, as I said, I always encourage you to listen, you know, as the podcasts become available, because I will often refer to recent or even, you know, past podcasts. This is an ongoing dialogue, folks, so it behooves you to listen on a regular basis and keep up to date 1 hour a week. Won't you please give me just one of your 168 hours that you get every week to listen to my podcast? If you do, you will get this adorable blanket. So I was talking recently about, I mean, in fact, I was surprised. And I, once again, my wife really did a nice job, if you will. She certainly knows me better than anybody. And she got me some really cool things. I was talking about my incense smoker, right? My little smoker who I named Giverny, which is where, Monet used to live for a while in France. Because this little wooden smoker that you put the incense in, and the mouth is open, and the incense blows out of his mouth. It's a German kind of toy that's hand-carved, and the smoke, you put the incense inside, you put the top over the incense cone, and then the smoke comes out of their mouths like they're smoking. And they have a little pipe, just so, you know, to make you, you know, just for a little realism. So my wife got me another smoker. So now we have two smokers, and this guy, so Giverny is kind of thin with a long face and a long beard, and our new one, who I've named Watford after the town that Elton John lived near, and the town of which he was is a huge fan of their soccer team. That was his team, the Watford Hornets. So I named this little guy Watford, and he's a chubby guy. He's very different. He's got some different kind of facial hair, and he actually sits, you put him on the side of a ledge the way he's designed, so his feet hang over. So So he looks pretty cool. So now we've got two. As I said, when I go in, I go when I like something, I go all in. So I don't know if we're going to start getting a collection. I've been trying to declutter, right? And right in the middle of my decluttering, I fall in love with these incense smokers. I'm trying not to collect them all. I'm trying to stay true to my decluttering, but then I it's part of my nature, I guess. But yeah, so that was cool. I did not expect another smoker, so I'm enjoying Watford now. And he and Giverny are both smoking up a storm with the incense. Just ordered some more Forest from Hem. Some Forest incense cones from the Hem Company. Boy, that is a great, great smell. If you like the smell of pine and you want to get into incense, I would recommend the HEM is the company. You can go on eBay and find it and get the Forest incense, the cones. Wow, does it smell good. And I've got blueberry and I've got apple cinnamon and I've got vanilla, but right now I'm mainlining on Forest, which is a pine smell. Just ordered four more little boxes. Loving my incense. We'll see how long this lasts, but I do love my little smoker. So I got a smoker, which was cool. I think it was in the last podcast or one before that, just as a passing comment, I was talking about candy bars, and I mentioned this candy bar that you cannot get here in the United States. Not very easy, but it's my favorite candy bar of all time. And on our first trip to London on our honeymoon, just happened to go into a convenience store and looking around for something to nibble on as we were sightseeing. And, you know, I saw these candy bars I had never seen before. They were Cadbury, which is great chocolate. And so there's one called Boost, and they had the description, and it sounded like it was very Twix-like with a biscuit in it. They called crackers there, or cookies, biscuits. And caramel and chocolate. So I'm like, boy, how do you go wrong with this? So I bought this Boost, and I have to say, I fell in love with it. B-O-O-S-T, Boost. You can't find them here in the United States. My wife went online, and I have not had a Boost in a long time. And so she ordered about 12 of them. I don't know where she got them, but and I just had a half of one the other day, and my God, I forgot how good they are. If you want, it's the perfect candy bar. I mean, I love Reese's. I love Reese's peanut butter cups. As I've said many times, the combination of peanut butter and chocolate is almost as good as Abbott and Costello or Laurel and Hardy or Cramden and Norton. It's almost as good. But I'll have to tell you, as a complete candy bar, do yourself a favor, go on eBay or something and look up Boost and just order one or two of them. And I guarantee you, you will be hooked. It is, I don't know how they do it, but the chocolate is so smooth and the biscuit is not hard. It's just, oh, I can't, oh my God, it's so good. Boost, get a Boost. So she got me a new smoker, a new little incense guy who I've named Watford, who is very cool, who is sitting on the ledge of one of our pieces of furniture now in the living room, smoking away with the pine incense. Some Boost bars, very delicious. I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but my favorite dessert, I would have to say, there are several desserts that I like, but at the end of the day, my favorite dessert, I like a good creme brulee. I'm not really big on cake, although I do like a good lava cake. But I have to say, my first, if I had to pick one, my number one dessert, these are a few of my favorite things. I have to say, my favorite dessert would have to be bread pudding. Have you ever had bread pudding when it's made right? It's got to be creamy and soft, but it also has to be firm enough to stand like a, you know, on its own. It can't just be mushy, and that's not easy sometimes because there's milk and there's eggs and there's bread. But when it's made right, and it has some little firmness to it, and it's warm, and you pour like a vanilla sauce or some caramel on that, or maybe even some ice cream. Oh, God. Bread pudding. So my wife bought me some bread pudding from one of my favorite bread pudding places. I complete surprise there, too. So that was basically what we had for dinner. Because that stuff is so heavy, you can't really. That's the bad part about bread pudding. You know, it's so good, and it's but it's heavy, obviously, because it's just bread. But my God, when you're at a restaurant and you see the bread pudding, after you've had a nice meal, it's so hard to say no to it. In fact, a lot of times when I go to a restaurant, I will go and look at the dessert menu first to make sure that they do not have bread pudding. And if they do have it, then I will certainly order accordingly so that I do not have too much to eat before, and I don't eat too much bread or have an appetizer or soup or something like that. I'll just have a main course, so I will save room so that I can really enjoy a nice bread pudding. And so she got me some bread pudding, so we enjoyed that. And then this one completely out of the blue. And once again, I will suddenly, in this incense thing, for instance, I mean, this came out of nowhere. I was saying, hey, I love incense. Well, I didn't really love incense. I do remember, as I may have talked, I think I did explain when I was talking about these things. I remember the incense from when I was an altar boy serving funerals. In the Catholic Mass, they use incense. And then in the 70s, incense kind of became popular in the mainstream, and my dad for a while was burning incense in the house. So I had these triggers, and when I saw these little smokers in Budapest, we were recently there, these smoker things that they were at the Christmas market, I fell in love with just the way they look. I just loved the little characters, and it was so cool to see the smoke coming out of their mouths and smell the incense, and so now I'm into these, right? Just when I thought I was done, they pull me back in. So we had a friend of ours, some close friends of ours, dear friends of ours, their daughter had a kid and a baby. And we went to see the baby last month, and my wife went to the shower several months ago. And one of the things that she bought was something was like a baby monitor that also had, plays like soothing music and, little like wind, these noise things. Some people like to have the noise things that make sounds like the white noise or wind blowing or rain to help them go to sleep. And I've always thought that was kind of goofy. Although I love the sound of waves kind of just crashing or ebbing up and back, the sway of waves on a beach. I can sit on a beach for hours and just listen to the water going back and forth. I love walking up along. I usually, if I ever go to the West Coast or somewhere, or even to Cape Cod on the East Coast, I will get up before sunrise and walk the beach. Just love to do that. My dad used to do that when we'd go on vacation, and when I was a little kid, I would go and walk with him. So maybe that's the reason why I do that now myself. But I get up and watch the sunrise and walk on the beach and just love the serenity of it and that calming sound. And so my wife was like, oh, I've always wanted, because she's, so they were showing them, here's what you bought and we use it for the baby. And, they were showing all the different sounds. My wife's like, I've always wanted one of those, I should get a clock radio that has some of those sounds. I really would like that. I like the sound of rain. It might help me sleep easier, blah, blah, blah. And so she bought one, and I thought it was kind of goofy. Oh, give me a break. Until she turned it on, and wow, I was really digging that. I thought it was always kind of just silly and, manufactured sounds, and I was really digging that. And there was about 20 sounds on there, thunderstorms, rainforest, summer nights, you name it. Ebb tide, tidal wave, thunderstorm, rainstorm, you name it. Surfs up, which is the one that I've always liked. So then I was like, wow, well, we should get one of these for the downstairs too. Wouldn't it be cool to just sort of have in the distance this kind of, you know, just in your house, not just to fall asleep by? And there's a little timer on the clock radio that you can put it for a half hour, an hour, just to help you go to sleep, and then it shuts off. But I was like, wouldn't it be great to just have this sound going on all day? I mean, for instance, if you lived on a beachside house, you can't turn off the waves, right? Isn't that why you bought the house? Because of the waves? So I thought, well, that would be cool. But I never, you know, I say these things, and but my wife does listen. She's a good listener. And so I never expected this. But do you hear that? That's white noise. So this is not a clock. This is just a little sound machine. Now that's wind. And that's thunderstorm. Oh, there's my ebb tide, my waves gently swaying back and forth on the coast, on the shore. I love how it, see how it gets quiet? And then all of a sudden, see? Now watch this. All of a sudden, it'll get like a little more. Here it comes. Whoa! If you're walking on the beach, your feet just got totally wet. And then what's this one? I think that's rainforest. Or just forest, maybe. Or rainforest. That one's summer night. And then this one. Doesn't that sound like three times a lady? It's not. But it kind of does. But that sounds like Funeral for a Friend, the Elton John song, doesn't it? And then the rain, but here it is. So now in our living room, where we, you know, spend much of our time watching TV, you know, that's our kind of our settling place for the day and night. I have this playing 24 hours. If you walk into our house now, you will hear this in the background. I don't know how irritating it is. I don't know how long this will last. But for right now, the constant sound of the waves running up the shoreline are in our house, even when the TV's on. Because as I said, if you lived in an oceanside house, right? Whoa, nice wave there. You can't shut that off. It's always there. So that's what I got for my birthday. So those were really cool presents. I got my nice boost. I got my sound machine with my ebb tide. I got my new smoker, Watford. He's blowing out his incense. And of course, oh, my bread pudding. And my boost. Oh. And as I said, some really nice outpourings of nice wishes and nice things from both close friends as well as virtual friends out there on Facebook, who I would assume many listen here on the podcast, as well as other things. So if any of you out there were those that have contributed to that and sent along those wishes, I once again really appreciate it. It really helped to make the day fun and interesting. And I was just shocked to see that many people, you know, would have would have sent good wishes. I had more than 300. And so, as I said, I think it's kind of fun. You know, if you want, go online and find out who's born on your birthday. And now, especially with all the information out there, you know, a lot of times, you know, these people that put together those lists, you know, on a daily basis in the newspaper, they don't put everybody, but you can find your pretty deep lists. I said, I never saw, like, for instance, when I looked up in the Chicago Tribune, when they list whose birthday today, they did not say Kim Jong-un, right? They're probably like, well, you know, who wants to put him on there? Well, he's noteworthy. You might not be your favorite person, but he's still noteworthy. I mean, I guess, you know, if you're born on April 20th, you're not too happy about whose birthday you share, but you still share it with that guy. And just as a little fun thing, I'm not going to tell you who was born on April 20th. I'm going to make you go online and find out if you don't know who was born on April 20th. And you'll know what I'm talking about then when you look it up. So, yeah, between Elvis and Bowie and Stephen Hawking, yeah, you got to throw in a couple of Kim Jong-uns, right? Because then you counter that with a Soupy Sales. You counter that with a Larry Storch. So that was my birthday, January 8th, 2019. It was a good one. Thank you for adding to it, if you did, with any kind of nice message. But, yeah, birthdays are always fun. It's an interesting thing, especially with mine being so early in the year, to dovetail on what I've said about the beginning of the year and how I've talked about this in the past, too, where we are given a full open page every year to fill in that page with experiences and memories for the rest of our lives. And it's our job, it's our responsibility to fill that page. So come December, that page is filled. And for me, it's even more of a challenge because my birthday is right at the beginning. So it's between New Year's and birthday. You've got your resolution mindset, your, okay, here are my goals for this year kind of thing. And it blends in right with the beginning of the year is the beginning of my year. So it's double whammy on that. And so that always does inspire me to make a list and to get out there and make memories. So I have to say that 2019 birthday already very memorable and very appreciative. So I appreciate you all for spending time with me and reviewing my birthday. And I hope you guys have a great birthday, whenever your birthday is. But I have to say that so far, 2019 is going along pretty well. Had a birthday and had a great time. And that wraps up this episode, number 139 of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your binge-worthy or binging, what should we call it? Just binging. You do it. They're there for you. I'm Jim Tirano. I'm here on business. I'm only here for fun. This is Jim Tirano's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screens.